It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. At this time a year ago, state legislators and the governor were digging in their heels for what would end up being a nine-month budget stalemate that proved to be devastating to many school districts and nonprofit organizations. Now, with this year's budget deadline just 4 days away, in stark contrast, there is optimism that the 2016-2017 fiscal year financial plan is going to be done on time or very close to it. But there are still many questions to be answered this week. I'm joined now by State Senator Jay Costa, a Democrat from Forest Hills. He's with us by phone from Harrisburg. Jay Costa, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great, Paul. Thanks. Glad to be with you guys.
If you have a comment or question for Senator Costa, particularly if it concerns the budget and the budget process, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. The three key questions at this point, Senator Costa, are how much money is going to be spent this fiscal year and what are the priorities? And I guess that's two questions. I'll save the third one for later. We know what Governor Wolf wants, and he's backed down from the demands that he made a year ago. So what's the wish list among Senate Democrats, and what do you realistically think that you can get?
Well, I think our highest priority has been continued restoration into our education resources and into our schools. Specifically, what we believe we need to have is a $200 million increase in the basic education line, which will be driven out through the basic education formula that we adopted last year, which is a more fair and equitable formula. So we start with $200 million there, but we also recognize that the best dollars we spend in education are in early learning, pre-K. We're going to add 25. We hope to add 25 to the pre-K program, 5 to Head Start, and we're also looking at adding resources, 20 or 25, to special education, as well as a conversation is developed where we want to make some investments in higher ed. We've neglected the higher ed community. Last year they did receive a 5% increase, but we've had some conversations. Last night we were here till about 1:30, quarter to 2, the four leaders working on this, and we're looking at maybe doing something in the area of higher ed as well, and community colleges, of course. So that's not one of our highest priorities. But we also want to do some work to restore some resources in the human service area. More specifically, we're trying to drive resources along with the governor into opioid and heroin addiction issues that we think need to be addressed across the Commonwealth. So those are the two major asks at this point in time.
Okay, and so the governor's figure on education, and as I mentioned, he has backed away from the amount that he was asking for a year ago. He still wants to increase it, but by $250 million for public schools, which was less than the ask that he made last year.
Right.
And, you know, people might assume that Democrats in the legislature are always on the same page with the governor, but that's probably not a good assumption to make.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we recognize that we have an obligation to get something done by June 30th, and there needs to be compromise. And that's what we're trying to achieve here. So the four caucus leaders have been working very diligently trying to find room where there's compromise, and that's what we're looking to be able to do. The governor has come down. The governor started this process at a $33.2 billion budget request. He later lowered that to a 32.3 request. Last week, he went down to about 31.9, and even more recently, one of the numbers we're working from is a 31.694. So we keep coming down closer towards some level. Unfortunately, our colleagues don't want to come up at all, and that's what we've been trying to struggle with. And so we're trying to make things work along those lines to be able to address the needs that the front office has through the governor's office, but also recognizing some of the priorities that the four caucuses have in terms of wanting to put into this particular budget.
But, Senator Costa, you're saying you're okay with a $250 million funding increase for public schools?
I would like to have a $250 million basic education through the formula. I don't think we're going to get there. I think we end up at $200 million basic education funding increase on the K-12. And then layered on top of that would be the pre-K money I talked about, the special ed money we spoke about, the higher ed money we spoke about, the Head Start money we talked about, and even some charter school reforms that would allow our school districts to experience anywhere from $28 to $30 million in reductions as it relates to payments to our charter schools, particularly our cyber schools.
So then $200 million then for K-12 education in terms of a funding increase, a $200 million increase. The as far as you're concerned, Senate Democrats are okay with that?
We can live with that, yes. Yeah, again, we have to recognize that, you know, we are in a minority, and we're fighting to make certain that our priority is part of this budget, and that's what we have to do. You've got to compromise, and that's what we're attempting to do, and that's kind of where we're at.
Has the tone and tenor of the current negotiations changed from last year? It seems to have, at least from what you're saying.
Very much so. I think we all recognize, we all learned from last year that we don't want to be in a position where we create harm for not only our nonprofit service providers, but our school districts and so many other agencies that were harmed by the protracted budget process. We recognize that that was a mistake at this point. So we all have a different tone, and we're all working towards trying to get something done. And the only way you get it done is by you get in a room and you work towards compromise, and that's what we've been doing, I feel.
Again, the number if you want to join the conversation with Senator Jay Costa, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. If you have a comment or question, what are the budget priorities that you think should be in place? Do you think that there should be more funding for education? Should dollars be set aside to fight opioid addiction? Or do you think that the budget should be cut, as some Republicans believe? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And just doing the math here, a little bit, it seems as though some things on paper at least don't add up. The budget deficit stands well over $1 billion. The governor says he wants to close that gap, but when you look at the increases that he's asking for, there's the question of how do you make this work and where's the money coming from to cover that?
Well, there are a variety of options that are on the table. You're exactly right. We have to come up with the revenue package that's going to pay for this budget. The IFO, the Independent Fiscal Office, came out with what they recommend the number to be. We'll wait to see what happens on June 30th. We have a pretty good idea where we're going to end the 2014 or 15-16 budget. We'll know that by, you know, before June 30th. We have a pretty good idea. So we have to begin to look at how we pay for all this. And certainly what is off the table is we're not going to do any broad-based tax increases. So the governor has taken those off the table, and we think it's appropriate to not increase the personal income tax right now, nor increase the sales tax. However, there are a number of other areas that we have to look to cobble together the package that was needed. Some of the things that have been part of this conversation for the past year and a half, almost 2 years now, relate to the tobacco products and tax on the tobacco products. We're also looking at things like potentially gaming. Expansion of gaming now is in the mix, particularly now that we have the video poker machines out of the bars, and which would have been very harmful for lottery folks. So we're looking at gaming as an alternative to generate some revenue. We already know we have about $149 million in anticipated new revenue because of the wine and spirit modernization. We're also looking at things that we've talked about before. We have things like vendor discount and bank shares tax and a few other things, the False Claims Act, an amnesty program. When you cobble all those type of, there's a menu of items that we're looking at that only, you know, that help us get to a number. That's not been agreed to yet. And that's what we're working towards, trying to figure out first and foremost what our spend number is going to be. And then the next question is, given what we know our revenue to be based upon this year's projections, what we need to generate in additional revenue going forward. And that's sort of step two in this process. Right now we're working through step one.
So the figure, is there a ballpark figure of how much revenue you need to raise exactly?
Probably anywhere between 1.2 to 1.4 in that range.
$1.2 to $1.4 billion.
Right.
412-246-2002, the number to call to join our conversation with Senator Jay Costa. We have Sandra on the line from La Trobe. Hi, Sandra. Welcome.
Hi. I'm concerned that so much revenue is going towards our drug addiction problem, and I don't hear any legislators say we've got to look at the medical profession and cut the oxys that people are getting, because it seems to me they get on the oxys, they can't afford that, they go to the heroin.
That's a great point, because one of the conversations that we're having is, I know the governor's recommended, asked for $34 million to combat this issue. We're not there, 34. I don't think we'll get all 34, but I know that most importantly what we have to do is have a plan in terms of how we're going to spend these resources, and that's what we're trying to work through. We have asked for, and I think we're going to do what's called a special session on this opioid and heroin addiction in Pennsylvania. So that'll allow us to have a focused and narrow attention to specific piece of legislation that we could look to. We've already taken some steps in the Senate to look at that. There's some continuing we require. We're going to be requiring that physicians take continuing education courses along the lines of opioid prescribing. That's one thing that I think we've already reported out of the center, or we will be soon. That Senator Jean Yaw has been working on has been an outstanding job in this area. We also have other measures that are aligned towards trying to make certain that the medical community understands the impact of prescribing. You know, at the end of the day, that's been a major part of the problem. We have to address that. So the other part of it is we believe Senate Democrats have put a number of proposals on the table in this area, one including more treatment options. But at the end of the day, we're saying to the pharmaceutical community, listen, you all are part of this issue, and you need to be responsible and be able to participate and be part of the solution. So we were looking to the pharmaceutical company to help pay for some of the things that we're talking about. So when we ask for more treatment resources or more treatment dollars and more beds available for treatment, for longer treatment, that we have a revenue source that the Commonwealth can look to be able to help pay for that, as well as being able to provide addiction counselors and doing loan forgiveness program to encourage folks in school to want to get into this loan, have a loan forgiveness for them if they decide and encourage them to get into the addiction counseling side of the equation for treatment purposes, because that's where we're going to make the changes. You know, locking folks up and throwing away the key is not going to be the answer. It needs to be working to develop the opportunities for treatment and allow folks the opportunity to have treatment. I've talked to many, many people who tell me that the barriers to treatment that a lot of the insurance companies, quite frankly, put in the way make it difficult to get the treatment that's necessary, that in many instances they're entitled to, they're eligible through their contract, through the health benefit program that they have. So we are focusing on those issues as we go forward. That's going to be the specific topic of a special session on crime.
The feelings that you are expressing, Senator Costa, really resonate with a lot of folks. Much attention has been paid to this issue by the media last year and this. And certainly the governor has made this one of his priorities, fighting opioid addiction. It is a huge and growing problem throughout the state of Pennsylvania. When people hear about how much money is being spent to fight this, they may not quite get it. Do you feel that the governor and, for that matter, senators and legislators like yourself are doing enough to sell the importance of this issue to the public?
I think there's been a lot of conversation in the community. I think it's got to continue. I can tell you Senator Jean Yaw, who heads the Rural Pennsylvania Commission, has had probably 20 meetings across the Commonwealth. We've had some. Senate Democratic Policy Committee has had some on different aspects of this. I think that there's been a lot, and House Democrats and Republicans have done the same, and the governor's had his roundtables. We are ramping up the conversation, but I think what we have to do is maybe a little less talk and a little more action. And I think that's evidenced in the revenue that we have available to do these type of things and looking to, again, not just, we got to find, there's a number of aspects to this. There's the barriers to treatment. There's not enough having treatment, not the length of stay for treatment, how we pay for this, what role the physicians play in terms of minimizing what it is that they're doing with respect to these prescription drugs that they provide. So the pharmaceutical company being part of it. All those are on the spectrum that we have to look at and talk about. And that's what we're going to be able to do. But we have to have action. And I think that's what we're trying to do, develop legislation and develop a very specific and targeted plan to try to address that.
So as we stand right now, we're 4 days away from the budget deadline. Is there a sense of urgency at this point in Harrisburg? Are there talks scheduled? Where do things stand?
Talks have been, like I said, we were here all day Saturday and Sunday and last night till 1:30. So we are constantly having conversations. I've had two meetings with the leaders this morning. I met with the governor this morning working towards a resolution. The sense of urgency is we know we want to get something done by June 30th. That's our responsibility. And we know that the pain that has been caused before, we want to try to avoid that. But we also want to try to have a compromise. And that's what we're working towards. And that's why you've got a lot of give and take and a lot of negotiations that are going on. But that's our goal, to have a compromised final product that we present to the governor that he signs, and then the same way with respect to the revenue side of the equation.
As far as the two sides, which were very polarized last year, as far as they have come, how much more of a gap is there to bridge between now and Thursday at midnight?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because I would tell you that I think that we're within, a couple $150 million, I think, at this point in time, as I sit here in my office in Harrisburg right now. But that's not easy to close because, that's the final leg, and that's always the most difficult, is to close out those last items.
Well, certainly we wish you well. I think many of us in the state are holding our breath and hoping for the best possible outcome, which I think everybody, based on what you're telling us, seems to agree would be an on-time budget this year. State Senator Jay Costa joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Senator Costa, as always, good to have you on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a good day.
You too. Coming up, the story of a Pittsburgh man who was recently taken from his home to prison and faces deportation to Mexico. How Martin Escoval Hernandez became the face of the issue of deportation relief in the Steel City. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.